You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Back here with you, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, hour number two of the Roto Experts. A lot of Ezekiel Elliott talk here. We're going to continue the conversation because I think it's a conversation that a lot of people are having this morning. The King is here, Fantasy Executive, of course, Wall Street as well. Matt, I'm going to chime in on this thing. Corey said Darren McFadden and or Alfred Morris are out there. He would not drop Deontay Foreman or Devontae Booker for them. Would you?
That's a tough question. You can make that. If you do that, there's a chance next week that Morris and McFadden are irrelevant once again.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I do kind of still like Foreman. The Booker thing, I would like to have Booker, but I think that's just a luxury right now.
You can get Booker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I understand. I would make a move on one of those two guys over both those guys for this week, just out of pure speculation. Because what if, I'll play devil's advocate. I've been kind of with Corey on the side for the most part.
Yep.
What if one of these guys is like Aaron Jones?
Sure.
And then they wind up popping and stuff like that. I'm kind of on the side that that's not going to happen, but...
How about this? How about this? How about you go pick up all of them? Go get Alfred Morris. Go get Darren McFadden.
What if it's Rod Smith?
Pick up Keith Smith. Pick up Rod Smith. Pick up Ray Agnew. Pick up all the damn Dallas Cowboy running backs if you want to do that. You feel what I'm saying? But you know what? Honestly speaking, though, I would drop all the way down and put a dollar on Rod Smith just in case.
Who are you dropping there?
Huh? You're right. I'm not going to drop nobody to pick up Rod Smith.
You can't
you're
do
right.
that. Exactly.
You're right.
Okay. So,
the other running back name is Sinyan Days. I don't even know him.
With that being said, guys, I think that like when it comes to Deontay Foreman, like Lamar Miller gets hurt, Foreman's going to get 25 carries in the game, right? Like that's it.
Yeah.
I still don't see it with Denver with Devontae Booker. I don't see
what there's not to see about it. Man, I gotta. This CJ Anderson thing is bothering me a little bit.
I think if Anderson went down, it could be a timeshare.
I agree.
Maybe, with Jamal Charles.
Yes. Hold on. Let me finish here. It could be a timeshare to start out, but I think Booker would eventually emerge as the guy.
He's gotten at least 20 carries in 3 out of the 4 games.
Look, Jamal Charles, no matter who the other running back is not getting more than 12 touches.
Yeah.
That is his peak. So I'm look if Chelsea if what's his name Anderson goes down, I want Booker.
Yes,
I think Booker is getting that opportunity.
Yes,
he will have the CJ Anderson role. I don't think there's any question about.
Yes,
it.
And CJ Anderson is not a picture of health.
Absolutely not. And I don't want to say that he is. But when it comes to a guy like Devontae Booker or Deontay Foreman for that matter, you are banking essentially by holding on to these guys, banking that like all right, guys are not a picture of health. Could get injured, which is true.
Yeah.
But when you pick up a Darren McFadden or an Alfred Morris, you're picking up a guy that has a situation right now.
Lamar Miller has been
and you're
been
picking up a guy in Darren McFadden. What is Darren McFadden known for?
Getting injured.
Lamar Miller may have been disappointing, but he's always been durable.
When we come back,
understood.
We change it a little bit. We're talking about it from the Ezekiel Elliott side. Next on the Roto Experts.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Sports Radio Network and on YouTube Live. This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network's Roto Experts program. And we are here live to you right now
We turned on the TV. We turned on the cameras.
Yeah.
We wanted to talk to you about Ezekiel Elliott from a side that I don't know enough people talking about. The conversation for the last hour has been Alfred Morris or Darren McFadden. Who do you drop? Do you do it? And the consensus, well, there is no consensus, to be perfectly honest with you. Corey has said, listen.
Adamantly.
Don't get involved in this. Don't do this. If you don't have them yet, don't do it. Scott's like,
I mean, if you're in a desperate situation, you're 1-4. I'm still not carrying 3 Dallas Cowboy running backs if I only have 16 roster spots.
Scott has said, you pick up both Alfred Morris and Darren McFadden. You want to get this running back right. You do what you have to do. Scott himself has dropped Cooper Kupp for him. And you know,
Hall of Famer Cooper Kupp.
And just want to be clear, you know how much Scott loves Cooper Kupp, and he's been on him from the beginning, but he feels that he has the depth. This is a move he felt like making. He says he drops Cooper Kupp.
It depends on your roster construction and context and the league that you're in.
Matt has been more toward the Corey side of things.
I did bid on both of these players last night.
But you didn't break the bank.
I'm just not going to go outrageous on both. Yeah. I went $31 on each. I lost out $55 to $35 on one, and $35 to $31 on the other.
Right, but you didn't. But you weren't breaking the bank on either Alfred Morris
and neither
or
me
Dan
nor my partner were like, "Oh, we have to get this guy. We got." Okay. We had free money in this one.
Right. Okay. So we'll get back to that in a little bit.
A question, right quick, man.
Or not?
No, I'm sorry. I want to cut in right here. If it was Fab, because that Staten Island League is real money Fab. Mm-hmm. If it was Fab, would you have been more aggressive?
Probably not, because this is pretty much free money for us, because we've had the high score. You get $50 for the high score.
Okay.
So we have $150 already banked in.
I see what you're saying.
$200.
Yeah, okay.
And I was just like, look, we have a really good team, number one. We can go out and make a trade.
Yeah.
Or I don't know which one's going to get it. If that, and you know what, like we were talking about, there could be somebody come Tuesday that's worth putting the money on.
No question about it. Absolutely. Okay. So, the first question I want to answer, I want to go to Scott because you're the one that's wanted McFadden and Morris. If we have a waiver run running tonight,
right,
or tomorrow, how much money are you putting in on these guys? And we've gotten a lot of comments about this. I want to make it even clear, okay? We've said, you know, everyone at this table, put 20%, put 30%. If people listen to us, they'd be way out of money by now for how many times we've said put 30% on a guy. And I get it. Like, you don't get everybody. We usually put 30%. Because someone in your league may put 40%. So I want to be clear. We're recommending what we would do. If that's not enough, it's not enough. That's fine. But Scott, I want to go to you because you've been the aggressive one when it comes to Morris and McFadden. How much money of your Fab budget, whatever you have left, would you put on Alfred Morris? And then how much would you put on Darren McFadden?
I'm thinking, you know, with a $100 budget, I got 3 waiver runs tonight.
Okay.
It all depends on Rod's roster context, of course. If I really need one of these guys, I'll go up to, say, you know, 36 on McFadden, maybe like 31 on Morris, and maybe I'd scale it back a little. It depends on need. And in the Fab leagues that I play in, they're not like the mainstream waiver runs, because, you know, those tend to be more competitive leagues, and you'll have less money left. So you really got to be really, really careful. You have to think it through a lot more in Fab than you do on a regular waiver run. So it really depends on your roster context. I looked at like 2 of my waiver run leagues, and those guys weren't available. They're already rostered,
but,
to Corey's point.
And that's fine. But but we need to help people that do have.
But I would
available.
Say 36 on McFadden, maybe like 32 on Morris.
Okay. And Scott, and I have been 31. He didn't even want
him. I'll say this real quick. I'd rather spend, in your league, Peterson went for what, $700? $701. I'd rather have one of the Dallas backs than.
That's what I was just about to say. I was just about to say that. You're carrying, you think, people think this situation is so important that they're willing to carry 3 Dallas Cowboy running backs. Well, then drop the whole bag on them, then. Drop the whole bag on them, then. If this situation is so important that you got to have one of these running backs, empty the clip. Empty, if you need to have both of these running backs, empty the clip to get them.
The problem with emptying the clip is you don't know who to empty the clip
on. But I understand where he's coming from.
If it's that important, go half and half. Empty the clip, go half and half.
I understand where you're coming from, because if you empty the clip and you got all of them, you will be guaranteed to have the guy for the Dallas Cowboys.
If it's that important that you have to carry 3 Cowboy running backs, empty the clip and go get them.
One thing that we haven't talked about, and Corey's made this point about how Elliott is pretty much... The Dallas defense took a hit because Elliott keeps that defense off the field.
You tweeted that out yesterday.
So now, if if he's gone, and you're putting in plays that are inferior to his talent with a line that isn't the line of this past, maybe Dak's got to throw the ball more. It's not like, you know, and maybe they're falling behind even more. And if Sean Lee doesn't come back, you know, this defense ain't getting any better.
No.
You're looking at a different game script possibly going forward. Maybe,
all of that.
Maybe Bryce Butler's the guy you want to own in
exactly.
Dallas.
Or maybe you make a trade to get Dak Prescott, and he finishes as a top three fantasy quarterback, a top five fantasy quarterback this year, which is performing as right now. Because maybe they're getting more aggressive throwing the football. That's likely a better way to play. In my opinion, if you have 16 roster spots, carrying three Dallas Cowboy running backs, you think it's a good idea? Empty your fab.
That's a really good point from Matt, because it changes the team dynamic. That defense is terrible, and they're going to get involved in some shootouts, and Dak has shown, whatever the game script is, that he can put up those fantasy points. You even saw it in Denver. They were playing from behind, and he put up the numbers when they were playing catch-up. And, you know, there's the danger now that, you know, this team could get game scripted, you know, of... Maybe that makes McFadden more valuable because he can catch passes.
What makes Ezekiel Elliott, that's a good point, Scott. What makes Ezekiel Elliott so effective, and I think we really saw it this past Sunday against Green Bay, was that there's no room to run in the first half. He just keeps getting the ball and going nowhere.
And he just keeps wearing your ass down.
Correct. And he keeps doing it. And by the time the fourth quarter rolls around, 10 yards in every play.
Here's
something that I think people need to understand, too, and why I lean McFadden a little more. Through five games, Dak Prescott has attempted 39 passes, 50 passes, 18 passes, 36 passes, 36 passes. And I don't think without Elliott...
Here's the thing, though. The three losses is where you got the 50, the 36, and the 36.
Okay, but the 18 came, you know...
That's the game they won.
Yeah, at Arizona. But I don't think the defense ain't getting better. If they can't keep...
Then when Sean Lee comes back, the defense will get a little bit better.
They're still not that good, but they can't keep... I don't think they'll be able to sustain drives at the rate they could within the season.
I don't know about that. They had 2 10-minute drives against Green Bay. So it's a matter of if they want to sustain the drive.
If they have Zeke, they can sustain the drives. If they don't, it doesn't seem like
Alvin Morris can sustain drives. Alvin Morris can pound drives.
Not like Ezekiel Elliott.
Nobody in the NFL can do it like Ezekiel Elliott.
That line is not as dominant as it used to be, where you can put anybody behind it and they're going to be able to pound and have drives. There's a big difference between Alfred Morris and Ezekiel Elliott, obviously. And you point to those three losses where he's throwing all those attempts. With this schedule that Dallas has too, they might have more losses and more passes coming up.
They've played the toughest team. They've already played the Green Bay Packers, and they game scripted the Green Bay Packers exactly how they wanted to play the game. They played the game exactly how they wanted to play it. 10-minute drives, 8-minute drives. And you're right. They lost. Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
You can't game script Aaron Rodgers. You know, you get that thing. You leave a minute and 13 seconds on the clock, and you have to lead against the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
That's not a bad game.
Absolutely.
I don't know if they can do 10-minute drives with Alfred Morris. No, I'm not saying Alfred Morris is garbage.
Yeah,
that's
what I was saying.
Okay. I'm not saying
I get that. So if they, then why pick him up?
Why
pick him up to the point where you got a roster three Dallas Cowboy running backs?
It's not black or white. We're not saying they can't do 10-minute drives, but at the same token, that doesn't mean they're going to be useless either.
I'm just trying to say, maybe Dak is really going to step up right here. I mean, he's played great so far.
I wanted him regardless. Yeah.
That might be the answer right there.
Whatever the game
Dak
script.
Dak Prescott.
But you know what, though?
Whatever the game script is,
Dak is putting up numbers regardless.
That's true. You know what the answer is? Ezekiel Elliott. That's the guy who's going to be the running back of the Dallas Cowboys.
That's what I'm willing to bet on.
We didn't know Sammy Watkins wasn't going to be shit. We didn't know Martavis Bryant was going to have 10 catches this part of the season. We didn't know Isaiah. Well, maybe let me not go that far.
We didn't know that they were going to get a stay, and then it's going to get turned over.
There's a lot of things that's happening right now, Scott, that we didn't know.
Yeah, but that's different. You're talking about performance. I'm talking about the legal process. We don't know if Ezekiel Elliott's going to play again for the next 6 weeks or not.
I think there's a good chance he's going to play.
I think it's a good chance he plays. Yep.
That the judge
based
made
on what?
The judge made the comments that it was taken. They jumped the shark, pretty much.
Right. So, aren't they going to have to like wait a long time now for the thing to play out?
So what happens, just to clarify once again, so what happens is Ezekiel Elliott filed a preliminary injunction in Texas, a favorable court to the NFLPA and Ezekiel Elliott. The judge, they won that. The NFL appealed. They won that. And they had filed a suit immediately in New York. Ezekiel, which is a favorable court to the NFL, Ezekiel Elliott will file the same preliminary injunction he already got in Texas. He will file for it in New York.
And it's the same judge that gave Tom Brady the injunction.
We'll be back right after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Alright, so back here now. Boy, you don't like the song, Matt?
Nah, this, I don't know. Don Burns got like hillbilly on us today.
There's a little country music for it. This is Darius Rucker, man. Love Darius Rucker.
Darius Rucker.
I like Darius.
I love Darius.
From the All Lives Matter soundtrack.
Darius Rucker, big Dolphins fan. And big wrestling fan.
Is he a big wrestling fan?
Yeah.
I know that.
Yo. Yeah. Huge. Hey, Darius, squish the fish.
I miss Hootie and the Blowfish, speaking of fish.
Oh, they were great.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. I sat front row of Hootie and the Blowfish.
Really?
I was glad to see them go.
Yeah. What a great debut album.
Oh, yeah. God, was that great. Yeah. Cracked the review?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
We won't keep doing this, or we won't talk about some Thursday night football.
So we have a lot more Ezekiel Elliott stuff to get to, because... Oh, you know what? I'll save that for a little bit later. I'm going to save it for a little bit later. I want to... Let's talk Thursday Night Football.
Because I'm getting too like emotional right now. And the last thing I want to do is haul off and slap Scott in the face. You feel what I'm saying?
I understand.
Yeah, because, you know, you don't have health coverage. Yeah.
Nice comeback, Scott.
That was actually great. Okay.
Ain't none of us going to have it after a while.
I didn't put this shit together. Let's just say that right now.
Only you, Scott.
Okay. Guys. Last night, Carolina and Philadelphia, as we turn away for Ezekiel Elliott just for a few moments. Carolina and Philadelphia played, you know, a fine football game. I think I can take a few things out of this. Carolina lost this game 28-23. But, Scott, where did you have, just going over this again, where did you have Carson Wentz last night in your lineup ranks for this week?
10.
So you had him at 10. I think you had him a little bit lower. Because I know Mike Florio and Frank Stanfield both had them outside their top 12. I thought you had him at 14 for some reason. But
no, Jake had him at 14.
Jake had him at 14, okay.
Because Lane Johnson didn't play.
Right. So I guess I was listening to Frenzy yesterday. That's where Jake said him.
He actually said on our show yesterday.
That's why I got a little confused. Okay. Right. So Jake said he had him at 14. So we went out and actually, we benched Carson Wentz last night. We're starting Carson Palmer this Sunday. I know a lot of people have a similar situation.
Yeah, I used Jameis Winston over him in the NFFC.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Carson Wentz, and I know actually, I got a text message late last night, Carson Wentz or Jameis Winston, same thing. So last night, Carson Wentz only completed 16 passes. However, three of them were for touchdowns, 222 yards. Going after last night, a good defense in Carolina, short week, on the road. Should Carson Wentz be locked and loaded into your lineup, forgetting about matchup? I don't care about it anymore. Is that where we are with Carson Wentz, Scott?
I think we are there. It's like, not only did he throw for the three touchdowns, he's done it twice this year after never doing it in his rookie season. He's had 300-yard games. I am very impressed. I always say the mark of a good quarterback, a quality quarterback, is being able to spread the ball around. And he spread the ball around very effectively last night. He overcame some really early problems with the right side of that offensive line. He's mobile. He's strong. He does a good job of looking the defense off with his eyes. The game has really slowed down for Carson Wentz. I'm fine with it.
For me, there's only three quarterbacks that are matchup proof. I want to look at everything. I'm not saying, look, he's a top 10 guy right now. He's in that mix. After the big three, I think from like 4 to say 10, you can go many different ways, slice things up. But what they're doing on third down is pretty amazing. They are just their conversion percentage and everything like that. That's, I mean, he has made that step. I wasn't the biggest guy on him coming in. I have him in a couple spots, but he's really impressed.
You know, I look at this, and it's interesting because we saw last year. This is not a team that wants to run the football, right? Like they didn't try to run the football last year unless they were inside the goal line and they give it to Ryan Matthews. This year, they weren't running the football. They're just throwing it short to Darren Sproles. Sproles gets injured. Now Wendell Smallwood gets injured. So LeGarrette Blount, I mean, this is what's going to happen to LeGarrette Blount. He's going to get 14 carries or so. And what is he going to do with them? Last night, he had 14 carries. He had 67 yards on the ground. He didn't catch any passes, obviously, because it's LeGarrette Blount. And you hope you get a touchdown, right?
That's the whole thing.
He had a shot at it.
Too, right?
I'm sorry?
He did have a two-point conversion.
He had a two-point
conversion. Yes. I will say one
thing. But he didn't get a touchdown. He didn't convert the touchdown, though.
The Eagles have become more run-heavy of late, too.
Because they lost the two passing backs, right?
They lost Smallwood and Sproles.
It's only because they lost Smallwood and Sproles. That's it.
Yeah, well, that helps in the passing game. You know, now Aguilar's emerging in the slot. They go more to him. But every time Blount gets the ball, you feel like it's just a runaway train.
The thing I want to get, Blount has been producing. I'm not a LeGarrette Blount guy, but I have to give him some love. And I think they might have touched it on the broadcast last night or so. I think the Patriots did make a mistake. They should have just kept LeGarrette Blount. He fit that system. He was integrated in there. He did what they needed him to do.
So, Corey, Matt says he likes what he's seeing in LeGarrette Blount. He's satisfied. So we had two games since Wendell Smallwood got hurt, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm looking at half point PBR, but I know he didn't catch any passes last night. But 7.4, 8.7. Is that enough from LeGarrette Blount?
Yeah, that's good enough for LeGarrette Blount.
Okay.
That's good enough for LeGarrette Blount. He's doing exactly what LeGarrette Blount's supposed to do. He's not going to be breaking off these big Ezekiel Elliott type games, but he's getting the work. He's getting his 12 to 15. He's going to give you about 70 yards. He hits pay dirt. Then you got to feel good about what you got from LeGarrette Blount. I'll tell you something right quick. This Philadelphia Eagle team, this is a 12-4 team that's likely going to be in the NFC East.
They're possibly this year's Dallas Cowboys.
They're good. The Eagles are good. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz is good.
And also with Blount, except for week two when he got no rushes, it's been 12 rushes or more. It's pretty much been consistently 14.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's what we said. It's 14. Yeah. It's 14. Really, if you take out the 16 for 136 that he had against the Chargers, I think this is what you're going to see. He's 12 for 67, 14 for 74, 14 for 67.
That's it. And you're hoping to touch that.
You're hoping to touch that. That's exactly it. Yep. So if we're saying that floor is about 7 to 8 points and you have a chance to get six more to get to 14, that's what you're getting from LeGarrette Blount.
That tonight's flex, especially in the standard.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think there's a major benefit. We say this all the time, Scotty. There's a major benefit to be able to plug a guy in and knowing what you're going to get out of him.
Yeah, and in a standard league, you know, there's always that crack. In a PPR, you like him a little less because he's never going to catch a pass.
No, however, you are satisfied because you know what you're getting. You don't expect him to catch passes. You don't expect him to go off. You expect him to get 14 for 65 and a touchdown potential.
He does have a receiving touchdown in week one, which stunned the heck out of everybody.
I wonder who his weed connect is.
I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about that a little later on.
Sorry.
Next on The Wire.
Let's talk about
Mr. Sussman's like, what the hell did that come from?
Let's talk about the passing game a little bit, guys. We've been discussing with Ezekiel Elliott and Alfred Morris and Darren McFadden. We talked about players you may have dropped yesterday. One of them very well could have been Nelson Agholor. Last night, Agholor had 4 for 55 and a touchdown, another touchdown, his fourth here of the season. On the year, he consistently gets 3 to 4 catches a game, 50-plus yards, and he's got 4 touchdowns, as I mentioned now, on the season. 20 catches, 321 yards, and 4 touchdowns.
I just can't wait to get on Twitter a little bit later on in the season when people start talking about, oh, yeah, I had Nelson Agholor as my breakout player this year. Nelson Agholor was going to be that bounce-back guy. Oh, I knew that Nelson Agholor was finally coming into his own in this offense because I swear, if I see one person tweet that, I am going to call you out because nobody, not one single person in this industry was on Nelson Agholor.
Well, we'll say this.
Nobody.
We'll say this. Before,
I hate Nelson Agholor.
Before the season
as
began.
As a football player. Before, I don't know him as a man.
Before the season began, people talked about Nelson Agholor in the preseason. They did.
Who?
It was out there. I don't have the name.
He had a very promising preseason.
Jordan Matthews gets traded, and we sat here. I sat in this seat talking to you about Nelson Agholor, and you said, Corey, I'm not messing with Nelson Agholor.
Stop fooling with him.
I said the same thing.
We all did.
I said that preseason's a mirage. I'm not touching him.
Yes.
Correct. I was saying it last week. I wasn't fooling with this guy.
Correct. Are you fooling with him now?
No.
Okay.
Now I am.
You are.
Now I am. I think we're, what are we now, 6 games in with the Eagles now?
Yep.
By now, it's real. It's real. It's like Tony Romo said last night on the broadcast. He has found his home in the slot.
Yes, sir.
I would not go as far as to say it's real. Because 24 hours ago, mm-hmm. we were saying that Devin Funchess was real.
I still think Devin Funchess is real.
Devin Funchess got 9 targets.
He got 9 targets.
Right. He only got 3 receptions. I mean, if you're going to get 10, 9, 8, 7.
Okay, that target
week,
work is there.
6,
I can understand 5, that.
4.
I wasn't a Funchess guy neither. So, and Aguilar. But if you
I said about
the thing with Aguilar, I will say, is it shows Wentz's progression. He's not forcing it to Alshon Jeffrey, who got more targets than him last night, too. He's still throwing the ball to Alshon Jeffrey. But when the guy's open, he's getting the ball to Aguilar. Aguilar looks good. He only threw what? Ertz had 2 catches last night. He put up 15, over 15 points in a PPR. He did both touchdowns.
Yeah, that's what I said about spreading the ball around. He had Johnson. He had Matt Collins last night. So he's hitting everybody. I'm saying he's real. 6 games is enough to convince me. And I'm not
Aguilar or Wentz?
What? Both of them.
You know, I agree with Wentz.
You don't want to do Aguilar because of the history, but you have to remember that this is a young guy and he's progressing.
Sure.
This is his 3rd year. It's real now. It's the preseason and 6 regular season games. I was not on him at all. I was with you, Corey, but I'm ready to turn the leaf. I believe in Nelson Aguilar now as a wide receiver 3. But there is a boom-bust factor there, but, you know, if he doesn't score the touchdown, you might only get 7 points, but I think it's a good 7 to 13, 14 points every week.
Yeah, no, I can agree with that. If you're one of our listeners that has Nelson Aguilar on their team, he's more than likely a wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 in your starting lineup every week, right? He's probably performing at wide receiver 2 statuses right now, so I can get it. If you're that guy, I can get it.
All right.
Me, myself, personally, I want no interest. I can win a championship without Nelson Aguilar.
So who would you rather have going forward?
ROS.
Nelson Aguilar or Devin Funchess?
Nelson Aguilar.
Funchess, I think he's going to be more reliable.
I got a good one.
Okay.
I might say, it's pretty much a coin flip. But I'm going to go with Funchess. He's getting the targets. I can go either way there.
You want to save it when we get back?
Save it when we get back.
Save it when we get back. Corey's got a nice one as well. We'll come back. I want to talk about Alshon Jeffrey and Kelvin Benjamin and, of course, Cam Newton as well. Roto Ekman, we are rocking this morning here as we head to week 6. Ezekiel Elliott. Carl Anthony Towns. Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes. Thursday night's game between Philadelphia and Carolina, game which Philly won, and Carson Wentz looked like the real deal once again, as he tends to do. LeGarrette Blount does what he does. And Nelson Aguilar proved at 4 for 55 with a touchdown again that he is becoming reliable, ownable everywhere, startable certainly during the bye weeks as well. Before I move on to Alshon Jeffrey, Corey, I know you had a Nelson Aguilar rest of the season question.
ROS. Nelson Aguilar.
ROC.
ROS. I said it right this time.
Rest of Corey.
Nelson Aguilar or Dante Moncrief?
That's a tough one because when Luck comes back, Moncrief's going to be very relevant. He has a good matchup this week. I will say in a PPR, Aguilar is the standard Moncrief.
Matt?
I'm going to go with Aguilar because I just think Wentz is doing it now.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about Luck coming back and having to play that game. And like I said, I think the progression of Wentz, and actually just seeing Aguilar has gotten it done when called upon. And he just looks like a better player. So
Scott said it's tough. To you, it wasn't tough.
It's not that it's not tough, but Andrew Luck is still not a football player. Okay. I mean, if Andrew Luck was on the field, that'd be maybe a different point.
It's a really good
shout out to Ewok.
There you go.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with Nelson Aguilar, and I don't really think it's very tough either. You know,
I don't like Dante Moncrief.
No, mm-hmm. I don't like.
By the
Dante
way,
Moncrief.
Corey, you said.
Can I get my answer, please?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thanks,
Mr. Sussman's talking. Scott.
I'm going with Nelson Aguilar, and I don't think it's close. You're right. I don't like Dante Moncrief. I think if you look at last year, the 7 touchdowns were incredible, right? He scored in every game but two that he played. He's played 7-9 mm-hmm. games, which is just, in my opinion, not sustainable. I mean, that's just not a sustainable number to score in every game that you play. I think if you look a little bit deeper, like, this dude's not... He's high in yards last year. I'm trying to just do it when Luck was there, because throw out everything with Jacoby Brissett, I believe. Was in that first game he played was 64 yards. He did not have more than 64 yards in a single game.
I think
the way they
use him in the offense, I think he's a red zone target. And I'll take those touchdowns.
I'll always take
touchdowns. Because I think Aguilar is going to be up and down.
He will be this week because the Titans allow the most receiving touchdowns in the NFL.
But that means nothing to me that Jacoby Brissett is the quarterback.
But everybody's streaming Jacoby Brissett this week.
I understand that, but that doesn't mean they're streaming Dante Moncrief, who has 11 catches. He has one touchdown this year.
He's playing with damn Jacoby.
You're just talking Jacoby Brissett up.
Yeah, for this week.
I love Jacoby Brissett this week, too. I really do. But it doesn't mean I'm going to count on Dante Moncrief for anything. Dante Moncrief this year does not have more than 50 yards in a game. He has one touchdown. He doesn't have, in every game but one, he doesn't have more than four
Andrew
targets.
Luck is coming back.
When?
Huh?
When?
We got week 7? Something like that?
He's going
back
next week.
Okay, but I want to... Come on. My point is this is that Aguilar has four touchdowns already.
Right.
Correct.
Now.
Correct.
And Wentz is going... When he needs that open guy, he loves Ertz. But last night he showed you. Yeah, I think he targeted him 5 times with only 2 receptions. He'll go to Aguilar. Jeffrey, I think, is a guy to buy low on right now. Alshon Jeffrey. But am I saying that Aguilar is going to be great rest of the season? Absolutely not. But I wasn't on him. I didn't want him. But I wouldn't mind having him on my... Especially like after losing Odell and some of the guys I got to play this week.
No doubt.
Devin Funchess and a Nelson Aguilar.
I think Moncrief's a good buy low too, though. I think that's something in the offense that they target him in the red zone. And I think that's his role. And I think he's cool with that. And he's going to score touchdowns. So ROS... And when I say ROS in this scenario, I'm talking ROS from Andrew Luck get back on the field.
When is that happening?
Week 7, week 8, Greg, Corey, you don't think the MF is going to play ever again.
Corey, how about this?
Moncrief is a good stream this week. I like him.
Yeah, he goes in lineups
against
this
that secondary.
Moncrief
I like
goes
him as a
in lineups this week.
I wouldn't trade him to Tony Sincotta this week.
But you know what, though? I'm gonna have to say Aguilar, especially after listening to Matt, who made some brilliant comparisons. I'm going to have to say Aguilar because you say, Luck, when is that? While I'm waiting for that, Aguilar's putting up numbers, and more numbers while I'm waiting for Andrew Luck to come back. Corey, you said in the last segment, too, you said, I'm not bothering Aguilar. I think at some point you just got to flip and say, look, the guy's getting it done.
No, I'm saying no doubt. I'm giving him his props. He's getting it done. Am I going out to make a trade for him? Am I upset that I don't own him nowhere? No.
I actually bid $91 on him this week and lost.
Aguilar, you're saying?
Yes. He won waiver wire this week in the league where I needed him. I didn't. I was like, this week, this same effing week right here. Excuse my French. You feel what I'm saying? Excuse my Harlem. I was looking at my bench to set my lineup, right? Because bye weeks and stuff like that. Aguilar's on the waiver wire. Moncrief's on my bench. I'm like, if I go get Aguilar, who am I going to play? Moncrief.
Okay, but you say this Moncrief thing. I'm really trying to understand why. You say he can give you a bounce
in the second half.
You say that he is this red zone threat, that they target him in the red zone.
Yeah.
Does that include this year?
No. This year, Andrew Luck's not out there. But Captain Andrew Luck's not out there.
Much like you can't count on Captain Andrew Luck.
Oh, back. Yes, I can.
When?
But Andrew Luck... I can't give you a date.
So
you're right
you
on that part.
That's the problem.
This is how I do my fantasy football teams. I'm like Bill Parcells. You know what I'm saying? I build teams. I build teams to make a push down the stretch. I want my teams to get hot in November. I want my teams to be the way I want them. Thanksgiving, past the buys, moving into the playoffs. That's how I build my teams. Right now, all of this, him humming and hawing through these bye weeks, I just want to get...
Put in my wins.
Come November and we start to settle out a little bit, I'm going to hit the ground running and nobody's going to beat me.
But you know what? Nelson Aguilar is going to help you get there we don't know how much Dante Moncrief will help
but
me get there.
That's 24 plus, hours. Devin Funches was going to help me get there.
Plus, and I don't think it's changed just because of one game.
I would still want Funches. And just the other
point about that, like Aguilar is going to help you get there. And what are we saying? That Aguilar's going to turn it off all of a sudden down the stretch and in the playoffs?
This is the same dude that last year. They was
this
like,
is not the Nelson Aguilar of last
this is
year.
365 days ago, they were talking about cutting this dude because he couldn't cut it.
That's
mentally.
A year ago. Yeah, that's not okay. Now.
I get it.
Here's the difference. Here's the difference with Aguilar. And if you were one of the people that did believe in him prior to the season, if you were that unicorn, the Eagles made it apparent that they believed in Aguilar.
True.
When they traded Jordan Matthews, which was, in my opinion, a great trade. They got Darby, added a deal. And they basically said, it's Aguilar's time. He's ready. And he's pretty much, look, he hasn't been super tremendous, but he's been really good. He's been really good. I mean, you don't put up 70. He's been better than Alshon Jeffrey.
He has been.
And come on, he's got four touchdowns.
And this is the guy that's on the waiver wire this week. I bid
$91. That was the runner-up bid. He went for $170.
And you were talking about the league in which you bid for him. That was the GST.
What did you bid for him?
I bid $91.
That was the GST.
I would have bid $99, so I wouldn't have had him either.
The GST, you didn't bid on him. I got him, and I've been searching for a wide receiver three for weeks.
How much you bid for him?
$62 I got him for.
So I would have had him at $99. So, but I decided I was going to play Dante Moncrief instead. I'm going to see.
I looked at Moncrief, and I said,
league. I'm all over the place.
I looked at Moncrief and said, I want Aguilar. My highest bid went in for Taylor Gabriel, and then it was Nelson Aguilar.
This is the wrong team, Scott.
When you see my issue with Dante Moncrief is even when.
You don't like him.
Even when.
Like Michael Bennett.
Even when Andrew Luck comes back, you are solely relying on Dante Moncrief for a touchdown. That is proven last year. You are solely relying on him for a touchdown. And that really, really makes me nervous. Like, I get it. With Davante Adams, when we drafted him high, we assume these touchdowns can't be sustainable again, right? And a lot of people said that. And thus far, you got Aaron Rodgers. It's working. He's doing his thing, Davante Adams. With Doug Baldwin a couple of years ago, when he had, 14 touchdowns that year, we're like, all right, that number has to come down. When I see Allen Hurns, great.
Good one.
Perfect one.
Yeah.
When Dante Moncrief plays nine games last year, and scored seven touchdowns in those nine games, that's not sustainable.
Here's the thing.
They're not running backs.
Between Funchess... Who's your guy? Moncrief and Aguilar.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Funchess just based on the volume of targets this guy is seeing every week. Week two, it started at six. First week was two. It went to six. He's gotten 10, 9, 8, 9. He only caught three passes this week. But if you're getting targeted that many times, it's going to be a good thing.
Yeah, you have to depend on Aguilar for the explosive play, and it's not always going to happen, whereas Funchess is going to be
a regular red
zone threat. What's interesting, Steve Smith was on the pregame show last night, and he was saying, he said, Devin Funchess, I'm waiting for Curtis Samuel to pop because Devin Funchess don't get no yak.
Those two guys.
You know, Cam Newton likes those big receivers.
Those two guys in the backfield was nice to see. I want to see some more of that. With CMC and Samuel.
Yeah.
I think, Jay Stew.
Emery tweeted, Emery Hunt, our buddy, does all the playbook. You catch him on Line of Block Live on Sunday mornings with us. He tweeted that Samuel.
Later today.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too. He tweeted with me.
With you.
Yeah, how about that? Just work me to, like, just
I guess you're not getting away from football until after
that. God darn it, what was we talking about?
Curtis Samuel.
Oh, Emery tweeted that needs to be, that Samuel McCaffrey backfield needs to be something for the Eagles moving forward.
For the Panthers moving forward.
Yeah, for the Panthers moving forward. I need to get away from football. I really need to get away from football.
Have a job.
Here we go with the complaint.
I'm talking about for a couple hours, a couple days.
Cue up the waterworks.
I need to get away from football. Because nobody don't care about me. They just want me to come in here, tell some jokes, talk some funny stuff, and tell them how to win in fantasy football. But when it comes to what's going on in Corey Parsons' life and not the fantasy executive on the outside, nobody can care.
You are full of him. When it was your birthday the other day, it was a damn love fest. No, you're just upset because it's not your birthday anymore.
That was the fantasy executive. They were showing love to the fantasy executive. Oh, Corey Parsons doesn't have no friends. None.
And if you keep it up, you won't have any.
No friends.
You're not going to gain any by doing this.
No friends whatsoever.
I'm your friend. He's your best friend. Shut up. Stop it.
BFFs. I was an original BFF. No, not original. I was second.
Second generation BFF. Okay, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, I think we got to talk about Alshon Jeffrey a little bit. Because because of that.
Yeah,
because
that's why.
That, right? Because you have Alshon Jeffrey, who had 4 for 71 last night on 10 targets. It's got to get better. It's got to get better. Will it? These guys will let you know when we come back. This is the Roto Experts right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Sports Radio Network. Corey, we went to break talking about Alshon Jeffrey. And you said, why?
I was actually waxing poetic on my life before we went to break.
Well, waxing. After that.
Huh?
After that. I mentioned Alshon
Jeffrey. Yeah. Why are we talking about... We should get an Alshon Jeffrey Funko. Dude, this guy should be better than this. You know what? When he was... Don't get me wrong. Big, talented. But he's also kind of lethargic, too. Alshon Jeffrey is kind of like Devin Funches and Kelvin Benjamin. When he was in Chicago, he was getting blasted with targets, and he was doing his thing. He's getting blasted with targets now, too, though, but he ain't doing nothing. Don't get me wrong, last night wasn't terrible. What did he give you, 11 in the PPR?
Believe so.
See, Alshon Jeffrey should be putting up 18 to 20 in the PPR, not damn 11
yeah.
7, 6, 9, 10, That's not what we paid for as a wide receiver 2 and Alshon Jeffrey. And Alshon Jeffrey don't finish as a wide receiver 2 and Nelson Aguilar does. If I'm Alshon Jeffrey, I would be effing embarrassed.
And here's the point, too, about Wentz, I was saying before. He's spreading the ball around.
Wentz don't care.
Yeah, he's spreading the ball around. He'll go to Ertz. He'll go to Aguilar. But, you know, Jeffrey's not quite like Funches. He's more like Benjamin. He does get open downfield, but there are drops. There's not much yardage after the catch. He's a big stationary target. Sometimes he gets downfield, etc. Just like you wonder after he's coming off of all those injuries, did it rob him of something when you actually watch Alshon Jeffrey? He's not quite the same spectacular guy with the wide wingspan that can pluck anything out of the air that he was in Chicago.
I think he still is that guy. I just don't think that's the offense.
He can be, but
offense.
I don't think he's there yet. I don't think he's there yet physically.
Let's say this.
So you're buying.
What's that?
So you'll buy Alshon
No, I didn't
Jeffrey.
Say that. Okay. I said he's not quite what he used to be when you watch him play. You know, he's, you know, the hands are still good. The routes are okay. But, you know, it's just like he's not what he was in Chicago physically. It just doesn't look like it.
I'll say this about Alshon Jeffrey. Remember, he wasn't hurt last year. He was suspended for steroids last
year. Yeah, exactly.
He wasn't hurt. He's actually been relatively healthy the last 2 years, which is surprising.
He's like a Baltimore Oriole. He got the bad steroids. The steroids don't work for you.
For whatever reason, you're right. He looks kind of rusty and not quite what he used to be.
Jeffrey, so I don't know if I agree, Scotty. I think that, you know, I think he had that one good year with Marshall on the other side of him, and
maybe
no,
we're overrating him since.
The next year without Marshall there, he balled out.
Okay.
Maybe we're still thinking a lot of too much of that.
Maybe so. Maybe the injury did eventually caught up to him, but Jeffrey did lead this team in targets last night with 10. He was, like, when they were... No, in the one wide receiver set on the goal line, like, he's the guy there, that he's Wentz's first look. I understand you think that Wentz really spread his ball around, and he does last night, you know, throwing passes to 8 different receivers, but it was Jeffrey that he threw to the most. It was Jeffrey that had the most receiving yards. I think there is still some hope with Alshon Jeffrey.
I think there's some hope with Alshon Jeffrey, too. The kid is just too talented, and you're like, you see, what's his son's name? Wentz. He spread the ball around, but Alshon Jeffrey is getting the most targets, though. You know what I'm saying? So him and Ertz getting the most targets. He's spreading the ball around, no doubt. But
and I go.
I would buy. If I had to,
you wouldn't have to give up. You wouldn't have to give up much to
put this together for the frenzy. Put a list together of buy highs and rank buy highs. How you would, you know, buy lows? How you rank buy lows? Like. Do you like Martavis? Because you can't buy low on everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
Then you have a team full of Dante Moncrief, Martavis Bryant, Alshon Jeffrey. You know what I'm saying?
I'd do a Jameson list of Crowder. Buy highs as well.
Yeah.
Because I think that's so underreported in fantasy. Nobody ever talks that. It's always like, you got to get that deal. You got to buy low.
And the thing with Jeffrey is, too, what they brought him in for was to be that red zone target. You know, Wentz was looking at Ertz in the red zone last night. You know, he's not necessarily looking for Jeffrey in that sort of role. He's just outside the red zone. He'll throw a slant to Nelson Aguilar.
Hold on. To be fair, on Ertz's first touchdown, Jeffrey was the first look. Just wasn't open. So I don't want to say he was only looking at Ertz. Like, he looked at Jeffrey. He just wasn't open.
Who was guarding Alshon last night?
Who's there? Who's Cameron
Bradbury?
Corner? I'm sorry. I mean, I didn't watch none of the game.
I think it was
game.
Bradbury.
I mean, besides the game versus Arizona, he's gotten at least six targets. He pretty much has been like 7, 8, or 10, or 13. Yeah. So Jeffrey, I think, is the guy you buy.
There's just, like I said originally, there's just no explosion after. Like, there's no yardage after the catch. He gets tackled immediately. You know?
His chance is nice.
Well, I'll say this, Scotty. You know, he didn't have a great game last night. He dropped a couple of passes.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been bigger.
It can be better. Score. It's not totally frustrating.
Exactly.
You know, it's not like Amari Cooper or something.
Correct.
But, you know, but it could be better.
Look, Jeffrey's yet to break 100 yards this season.
Mm-hmm. Hey, these chairs is nice.
Thank you.
Where's the loading dock?
We don't have one.
I know it's a loading dock here somewhere, man.
We'll find the freight elevator.
Yeah, we'll find it. It's going to be short of cheer tomorrow.
Yeah.
They were
somebody
like,
from a restaurant
going
to be
coming out.
Somebody from a restaurant going to be watching you.
We go live on television when we come back. It's the Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network.